Pope Francis has become known as one of the most progressive popes when it comes to issues of social justice and poverty, but he's also become a voice for environmental justice. The Pope recently issued an encyclical on the issue, which was essentially a letter sent to Catholic bishops across the globe urging them to take the threat of climate change more seriously. But Pope Francis isn't the only faith leader paying attention to environmental issues. We have in our studio today two Lansing area residents who are working to connect people of faith to the environmental movement. Pastor John Schleicher is a retired Lutheran bishop and a board member of the Michigan Interfaith Power and Light. We're also joined by Jim Detchen, longtime science reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. We know him well in this building here as head of environmental reporting for Michigan State University. He is also currently chair of the Sustainability Committee at Edgewood United Church. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here today. John, I want to start with Pope Francis's recent encyclical. Yeah. In it, the Pope lays out the moral imperative for working to fight climate change. Can you talk to us about the argument he lays out?
Yeah, basically, he has taken very seriously the overwhelming consensus of the scientific community that we, for the first time in history, have, as human beings, impacted the Earth in a way that's pretty toxic and threatens the very future of planet Earth as far as life is concerned. And for him, the moral piece is that God had given to us as human beings the task of caring for the Earth and preserving it and tending it in a very helpful, constructive way. And he would contend in the last two centuries that we have failed pretty miserably at that task.
Have you followed the reaction to the encyclical from inside the Catholic Church?
So far, I think what it's doing is that the printed copies will be available on Friday. You can get it online, of course, and I've read it a couple of times. My sense is that the bishops were well prepared throughout the world to receive this and are being asked as well as parish priests. And by the way, he writes it not only for Catholics, but for all human beings on the earth. That's very deliberate in the way he crafts it, that they're well prepared now to help the laity then to engage the whole matter of climate change.
Jim Detchen, do you think that having a religious leader as visible as Pope Francis taking a stance on climate change could make a difference in how people of faith approach environmental activism?
I very definitely do. In fact, I think this is maybe a kind of a turning point. The scientific community is 99.9% certain that it's climate scientists that climate change is occurring and it's caused by human beings. But I think now you have the Pope representing 1.2 billion people reaching out to a whole different audience, and I think this will have a major impact across many denominations in terms of persuading people that this is something we have to take seriously.
Is there less tension then today between the scientific community and religious institutions? I want to ask both of you that. Do you think this is evidence that that is changing?
I'll take that on first here.
Sure.
I think that there's a growing sense in at least many of the mainline churches, as well as the Catholic community, and I would say much of the evangelical community as well, that that we need to get past what I would say burying our heads in the sand and recognize that we as human beings really need to make some really major changes in lifestyle and attitudes and convictions about how we consume and how we take care of the earth. I think that there's a broadening sense in the church community and the interfaith, you know, other major religions in the world. I get a newsletter from the Muslim community, and I know that they're very active as well, and they're very excited about the bishops or the Pope's statement here as giving us some leverage. So I think it is broadening, to answer your question.
And I would like to just add that this really is an interfaith movement. It's Catholics, it's Protestant, it's Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. Across the board, there's activity going on in terms of being good stewards of the environment.
Jim, your church in Edgewood United's taken a fairly progressive stance on several social and political issues, race relations, gay marriage, and others. Is there any worry that a lot of the faith leaders who are speaking up about climate change are basically preaching to the choir, or do you think people are changing their minds based on what their pastor or imam or rabbi is saying?
I do think people listen. I think, again, pastors and religious leaders reach a different community of a group than the scientific community does. So I think it is persuasive. Edgewood has been a leader on these areas. We've had an environmental task force since 2004. We've done a variety of things, and climate change has been one of the central ones. We're currently in the process of trying to put solar panels on the roof to reduce the carbon footprint and the amount of carbon dioxide emissions that are going into the atmosphere.
John Schleicher is a board member of the Michigan Interfaith Power and Light and a retired Lutheran bishop. We just heard from Jim Detchen, who chairs the Sustainability Committee at Edgewood United Church in East Lansing. We're talking about the connection between faith and environmentalism. John, the Bible verse that's sometimes interpreted as justification for doing pretty much whatever we want on the earth is, and I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with it, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That word subdue is in the 21st century, I'm not sure it's...
Yeah, and another translation is dominion, both of which Hebrew scholars would now say are bad translations. That really, more accurately, it was to care for, to till, to tend.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
So the whole dominion piece, which has been pretty operative, you're correct about that, the subdue, has given us kind of license then to do as we will, treating it as an object rather as a partner that we live with and are part of the whole fabric of life. So I think what I hope is that people will realize the way that many of us have been taught really has been faulty in terms of that word.
Any thoughts on how you bridge the gap between people of faith who are fairly firm in their conviction that climate change is not an issue for the church to be involved in, and those who want to see the church as a catalyst for change? Any thoughts? Is this creating any tension within congregations or between congregations?
Yeah, and I guess I would say I hope so. I hope that there is some tension, but it's the kind of tension that leads to some substantial dialogue and that people won't be afraid. You know, the rules of dialogue is that you don't disrespect one another, but it's okay to disagree. And I think because of the Pope's encyclical now, too, this is, as Jim said, really kind of a golden moment for us to not be afraid to take this on. And I would add to talk very directly with our legislative leaders. I think that a lot of this needs to be political in the sense that we ask our people then to be advocates for the changes that we as a culture. And here in Michigan, with the ending of legislation on mandates in 2015, I think it's a really opportune time for us to step up and to speak out.
And I would add that it's also an opportune time. You're coming up for international climate negotiations that will occur in Paris in December, in which all of, maybe 200 countries are going to come together and sort of update efforts to try to combat climate change. So it's really a critical period over the next few months.
I'm struck by the name of this organization, the Michigan Interfaith Power and Light. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, and I'm new to the board, so I'm going to claim a little ignorance here, but the name is probably 10 or 12 years old to recognize that we're primarily focused on energy, carbon footprint, there, and so the power and light, and what other ways can we produce power that are friendly to the earth? And so it's kind of borrowing from the utility world and saying, but this is a good metaphor for us to use.
Very interesting. Well, we've been talking about how faith leaders are involved in the fight against climate change. We've been joined today by Bishop John Schleicher, board member of the Michigan Interfaith Power and Light as well as Jim Detchen, a longtime science journalist here at Michigan State University, and for the Philadelphia Inquirer as well. Jim is also chair of the Sustainability Committee at Edgewood United Church in East Lansing. Thanks to both of you for joining us
today.
Thank you.